Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, we just thank you for what we're going to see tonight here in the Scriptures. Father, I pray that you will make application to our lives. Father, pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, help us to be attentive to your Spirit. And Father, help us to respond as we ought to. We pray these things now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we see a very interesting situation unfolding. Samuel has just been established a prophet in Israel. We saw in chapter 3 where God revealed himself unto Samuel. God came and spoke to Samuel on three different occasions there, and he thought Eli was calling him. And at the same time, in Israel's history, there was a little bit of a spiritual neglect, if you will, in a sense. The lamp of God had gone out. And so God comes to Samuel and establishes him as prophet, and he also tells him that there's going to be some judgment that's going to come upon the house of Eli because of Hophni and Phinehas' sin. And so we come now to this battle here that's taking place. Israel is fighting against the Philistines. They are set up here in Ebenezer. And they go out to battle, and Israel is smitten. They lose 4,000 men. It's not a good situation. They were losing the men there, and so they had an idea, and they said, let's go up to Shiloh and fetch the Ark of God. We're going to bring it down into the camp, and the Ark of God was a symbol of God's presence, a symbol of God's power, and they're like, if we bring the ark up, certainly then God will deliver us from the hand of the Philistines. And so they went down, they went and got the ark, they brought it down from Shiloh. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, accompanied the ark down to the camp there in Israel. And there was great rejoicing. If you read down along in the story here, there was much rejoicing. Everybody was excited because they're like, certainly God is with us. And there was so much rejoicing that even the Philistines got a little nervous. They heard, they're like, they're wondering what's going on in the camp of the Israelites. And they said, well, the Ark of God came in. And they had heard the stories of what God had done to the Egyptians. And so there was it was well known that this God was very powerful, very mighty. And so the Philistines became a little scared, a little nervous. And then they went forward into battle. And as everybody would have assumed, everybody thought the Israelites would have won, but the opposite happened. A very interesting situation. They entered into battle, and instead of winning, they lost the battle. They lost the Ark of God. And then Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, of course, were killed. And we know that that was part of the foretold judgment of God upon Eli's house. So that wasn't necessarily a surprise. But the losing of the battle and the Ark being taken, what an interesting situation. Who would have thought that that would have ever happened? And so as the story goes on, there's a man, in verse number 12, we'll pick up reading in chapter 4 and verse 12. There was a man that ran of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. This man came running back from the camp, back from the battle scene. And he's coming now to bring word to Eli to let him know what has happened. A very tragic scene. Eli's sons are dead. The ark has been taken. And in verse number 17, we see the messenger now giving the story to Eli. And we'll pick up reading in verse number 17. And the scripture says here, and the messenger answered and said, he's speaking to Eli here, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains had come upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. And she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel. Because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. What a very tragic scene we see taking place here. This young man, I wouldn't want the name Ichabod, but pretty much his name meant the ark of God is taken. The glory has departed. And tonight I'm going to preach to you all a message, and it's the title, it's a kind of a long title, but it goes like this. The question is, has something diminished the presence of God in your life? Or we could put it this way, just as the scripture says there, has the glory departed? I remember as a 18 and a half year old young man growing up in church, being very intimately acquainted with the Word of God, but being very lost. And then when I came to know the Lord at 18 and a half years of age, it was like the 18 and a half years prior, all that Bible knowledge, all that stuff became alive. And truly understanding and experiencing the Spirit of God and having that relationship there and knowing the presence of God was just a very intense and wonderful thing. And you can think back to that moment when you came to know the Lord, when you became a new creature in Christ and the Holy Spirit came into you and filled you, and you know God's presence. What a glorious thing that was. We had the Old Testament has all the sacrifices and the thing that picture our walk with God, the sacrifices of thanksgiving, our prayers and our praise to God, and we have that time of fellowship with God, and you remember what it was like walking with God and spending time with God, and just what a glorious thing this was, doing God's will and following Him and, being around the people of God and that freshness and that newness. I think about when they had first dedicated the temple. And in this case, it would have been the tabernacle, but when they first dedicated the tabernacle, everything was made just how it was after the fashion that God had ordained. They went in and they sanctified everything, and then God's presence came, and it says the tabernacle was filled with smoke. It was just an awesome scene to behold. And so here in this passage of Scripture, we see a very interesting situation take place, the ark of God being taken. And we know that as believers, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, the Bible says He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so we praise God for that. But in our lives as believers, the Holy Spirit can be quenched. He can be grieved. And that sweetness, that fellowship, that fire that we have can be diminished. We don't lose God's Spirit, but we can lose that sweetness, that relationship of what it ought to be. And we're going to go forward from this situation here, and we're going to see something that I think is even more tragic than just the fact that they lost the ark. The losing of the ark, the diminishing of God's presence, was a sad situation, but it gets even sadder after that point. When you get into 1 Samuel chapter number 5, there's a very interesting story. There's a kind of a separation here, a little bit of a pause in the sense of what's going on from the battle until you see what picks up with the ark. But 1 Samuel chapter 5, we have this interesting story. The Philistines, they now have the ark and they go put it in the house of their god Dagon. And this is the story where Dagon, the ark is there, and the Philistines come in the morning and Dagon has fallen down before the ark of God. What an interesting story this is. And so the Philistines, they go and they set Dagon back up. And the next morning they come in and they find Dagon fallen on his face again. This time his part of his body was dismembered this time. And so God was showing himself strong, not for the sake of Israel's sake, but for his own name's sake. God was protecting his own name. When it came to the point, as you progress through chapter number 5 there, that God began to afflict the Philistines, not for Israel's sake, but for his great name's sake. And so this strange story takes place. And so the one folks have it, and so God starts afflicting them. So then they send it over to the next city, and then God starts afflicting that city, and then they're kind of playing hot potato with the ark of God. I can just imagine God was afflicting them. And so finally, they became a little wise about what was going on, and so they conceived of a plan to send the ark back, because they're like, this is much more than we can handle. And so they made these emerods, they made these little figures of mice and of gold, and they put them in these pots for each of the cities, for each of the lords of the Philistines, and they made a cart, and they sent the cart back to Israel, to Beth Shemesh. And look what happens here. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Samuel chapter number 6. We are finishing up with the Philistines having the ark of God. And look what the scripture says here in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months." The symbol of God's presence had been taken, a tragic situation indeed, but it wasn't returned. It wasn't sought back after. It was with the Philistines for 7 months. The tabernacle's up in Shiloh. That was the place where they were come to worship. That was the place where they would come to serve God and fellowship with God. But God's presence wasn't there. 7 months. How did they worship and serve? The scripture says, turn down if you would to verse number 12. So the Philistines put the ark on this cart and they sent it along. And the scripture says here in verse number 12, "And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them into the border of Beth Shemesh." And if you read down through the rest of chapter 6, the men of Beth Shemesh, they found the ark of God there, and they went and they retrieved it. And they did something very foolish, and they were trying to meddle with the ark, if you will, and God started smiting them. And so they ended up sending the ark away again up to Kirjath-Jearim. And we'll pick up reading here in chapter number 7 and verse number 1. And so now the ark has been sent from Beth Shemesh, and the Bible doesn't necessarily say how long it was there, but we know the ark was separated for 7 months. Then it went to Beth Shemesh for an unknown amount of time. And then in chapter 7 of verse 1, it says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." What a tragic situation. The ark was taken. On top of that, the ark was gone for 7 months. It was in the hands of the enemy. The ark was then brought back. And it didn't say it was brought back to Shiloh. It was brought to Kirjath-Jearim. And it spent 20 years there. If you read on farther in the scripture, we're not going to take time to do it, but the ark doesn't really necessarily come back to a place of worship until David ends up later down the road bringing it back, and then eventually it's put into the temple once the temple is built. For 20 plus years, the ark of God was separated from the place of worship. And so tonight I have just a simple question for you. This all comes down to one thought. The children of Israel ended up, if you read just continuing down in chapter 7, they had come to the place where they had gotten into idolatry. And the situation had just deteriorated and kept going on downhill from there. Remember back when everything first started, there was a spiritual neglect. The lamp of God had gone out. They had a battle. The ark of God was taken, the symbol of God's presence. And the saddest thing of all is not so much that it was lost, but that why didn't anybody say, "Let's go bring back the ark"? Why for so long was it separated? And so the thought for us tonight is, remember that day you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Remember the sweetness, the fellowship, the worship, that glory that was there. Serving God, walking with God, doing the things that God wanted you to do, that obedience, that surrender, doing whatever it is that God wanted you to do, being faithful to whatever it is that God said to do. But there was a battle. There was a bump in the road. There was maybe some neglect, maybe a sin. You fill in the blank. But maybe there's someone here tonight, you've had something that's happened in your life, a spiritual battle, a physical battle, maybe a health battle, something, you fill in the blank, there is something in your life that has diminished God's presence from what it used to be. Is there something in your life today? And the sad thing about it is, in the children of Israel's life, it wasn't so much the fact that it had happened. It was the fact that they allowed so much time to go on before they said, "Hey, let's get the ark back where it ought to be. Let's get God's presence back to where it ought to be." I've experienced this in my own life. You know, things are going really well. Walking with God is going great, and something happens. And then after that point, things just weren't like they used to be, or they used to could be. And And so the tragedy of the story is, like I said, not so much the losing of the ark, it's how long they waited to get things back to where it ought to be. And I ask you today, have you been going, let's say, 5 days with God's presence diminished in your life? Is there somebody here tonight, maybe you've been going 5 months, or maybe you're going into years? Yes, you're still in church. Yes, you may be here and there, but it's not what it used to be. That sweetness isn't there. That fire isn't there like it used to be. Things can happen in our lives, and just like the children of Israel, we can fall into that trap of just letting time go by and getting comfortable with having God's presence diminish in our lives. And I ask you today, has there been something in your life that has kept you from having that relationship like it ought to be? I urge you and I beg and I plead with you tonight, if that is the case, whatever it is, whatever the thing was that has led you to that point, at this point it doesn't matter. It's time to get it right. It's time to get back with God like it ought to be. Don't wait. Don't allow that thing to go on, to fester. And then you just become so numb to it that finally you don't even remember what it's like to walk in God's presence. That's not how a believer ought to live. And so I ask you tonight as we close, has something in your life diminished God's presence? Has the glory departed in your life? Yes, you're still saved. Yes, you still have a home in heaven, but you're not serving God and walking with God like you ought to be. Tonight, get that thing right with the Lord. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are always so patient with us. Father, when we deserve your punishment and your wrath, Father, you are always so kind and so patient. Father, without a doubt, there are those, Father, that have known the sweetness of fellowship, Father, that sweet time of intimacy with you, Father, but without a doubt, there's been a battle, something that has come along that has caused your presence to be diminished. Father, please help us to respond to your Spirit's leading during this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Now we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.